This program is sponsored by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
He has been made for me righteousness. Christ has been made for me redemption. Christ has been made for me healing. Christ has been made for me holiness. Christ has been made for me deliverance. All of the finished works of Jesus Christ, He made them so that you could partake of everything He finished. It's not your faith. For all this time, you thought it was your faith. And whenever you're thinking it's your faith, you can see the weakness to it. You start wondering about it. You start questioning it. But I am telling you that this faith that is used to apprehend what grace is made available is not yours.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Father, we have anointed ears to hear. Our hearts anointed to receive. We declare that we will not work, but we'll let you work, and we're going to rest in the finished works of Jesus. Give us revelation today. We are anointed to hear and anointed to receive, and what we hear and receive will change our lives forever. Lord, let us understand this grace and be empowered to change. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's begin in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. We're talking about obedience to the faith. Ephesians chapter 2. And when you get to Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Okay. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now, he says, I am saved not by my works. He didn't say, for by grace for by works are you saved. You are saved by grace, right? So verse 9 says this now. He says, not of works. So he just tells you that it's not of works. It's not of your good works. It's not about all your praying. Praying is good. It's not about all your coming to church. Coming to church is good. Not about all your singing. Singing is good. But he says it's not of your works that you were saved. So you can't boast about being saved by something you did. You can't boast about being saved because of you earned it. We were saved, verse 8, we were saved by grace. Now, what is that? Grace is unmerited favor. We were saved by grace through faith. And so now notice something. We were saved by grace, but we got it through faith. Now, the Amplified Bible of verse 8 says this, for by free grace. Somebody say free grace. Free grace. See, you didn't do anything to earn the grace. It was free grace. It's like God just decided one day to do a favor for us. So by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that's what grace is. God's unmerited favor. When something is unmerited, you didn't deserve it, you didn't work for it, you didn't earn it. It is by free grace through God's unmerited favor. I mean, think about it. What could we have possibly done to deserve the right to be saved? What could we have done? According to this scripture, nothing. It was by free grace. Now, that word salvation here, he says saved, we've been saved. The Amplified says this, for it is by free grace, his unmerited favor, that you are saved, and he defines that, delivered from judgment. Delivered from judgment. Now, all of us, because of what one man, Adam, did, all of us were condemned to be judged for our sins. Because of what Adam did, we are now born into sin and shaped into iniquity. Because of what Adam did, there was a judgment required. The judgment or the penalty for sin, according to the scripture, for the wages of sin are death. And so we had due to us death. We had due to us hell. We had due to us the grave, and we had due to us punishment for sin. We were delivered by the favor of God from judgment. Hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus. That means all of the judgment that was supposed to be ours, through God's favor, Jesus stepped in and took all of our judgment on himself, praise God. Now, you got to understand something. Once judgment has been passed, he's not going to come back to try to judge you of the same thing again. Sin has been judged, and you have been delivered from the judgment of sin. So that's once and for all. For him to come back and judge you for the same thing, sin, again, would violate something in our society. I think it's called the law of double jeopardy. It's where you've once been judged for the thing one time, you can never be judged for it again. You have been judged once and for all times for your sins. And Jesus did it as a favor to you. And I don't know why you ain't shouting right now because of what Jesus has already done for you. But you didn't deserve it and you didn't earn it. And so all we've been delivered from judgment. Say out loud, I've been delivered from the judgment. So what is judgment day going to be for people who've already been delivered from the judgment? It ain't going to be like you thought, because he's not coming back, the Bible says, the second time to judge sin again. He's done it. My God, that's good news. Your sins have been judged. Your past and present and future sins have already been judged. When you made a decision to believe what Jesus did through his blood, they were judged. And if you'll believe it for the rest of your life, you will never again have to worry about going to heaven. Why be concerned about going somewhere where you're already seated? You're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? Praise God. He says we've been judged or delivered from judgment. We've been delivered from judgment. And notice what he did. We didn't do this either. We didn't earn it. He made us a partaker. Partaker of what? Not my righteousness. He made us a partaker of Christ's salvation. He made us a partaker of Christ's salvation. Now, if I've been made a partaker, partakers should be what? Partaking. All right, now why did he make me a partaker if there was nothing to partake? I've been made a partaker of what? Of Christ's salvation. What is that salvation? He has been made for me righteousness. Christ has been made for me redemption. Christ has been made for me healing. Christ has been made for me holiness. Christ has been made for me deliverance. All of the finished works of Jesus Christ, he made them so that you could partake of everything he finished. Now, here's what you got to understand. All the things you find yourself praying about and asking God to do for you, Jesus has already done for you. See, religion keeps telling you to try to get God to do for you. But under the covenant of grace, you come to recognize that he has done it for you. So you find out you got sickness. Oh, Lord, heal me, trying to get him to do. The attitude under the covenant of grace has got to be, he has done it. I'm healed. Healing has been provided. I can partake of provisions that have already been provided. They are the finished works of Jesus Christ. It is done. Now, here's what we've got to see now. As Christian people, we've got to understand how religion has put its claws in our life. We don't even see we're going the wrong way. For so long, we've heard it that one way. We've not bothered to go and look at what the word really says. The Bible says that we are no longer under the law that came by Moses, but we are now under what? Grace. How many believe that you are under the dispensation of grace? You are no longer under the law. Question, when did you get under grace and out from under the law? The day, what happened? What day was that? The day you got born again, the day you got saved, you are no longer, the Amplified Bible says, you have no more intercourse with the law. Glory be to God. I am under grace. Say that.
I am under grace.
And not under the law. Okay, so you know what's been happening in religion. We got saved by grace. but we're still operating by the requirements of the law. You can't say I'm saved by grace and still be doing the requirements of the law. And so that's what's happening. You hear people say, I'm a sinner. Watch this. That's under the law. I'm a sinner. Now watch a mixed grace. Saved by grace. Either you are a sinner or you've been saved. Hallelujah. Say out loud, I've been saved by grace. I am no longer a sinner. I am the righteousness of God. But religion keeps telling you all those religious things and you keep doing it. So under the law, the requirements of the law, under the law, when we live life under the law is all about do something to get something. Under grace, it is about understanding that it is done, now receive it. Under the law, it is about you got to do something to get God's blessings. Under grace, it is about it's already done, blessings are available, receive. You see this? The law is all about demands, and you have to meet the requirements and you in order to supply those demands. And man is bankrupt. He could never meet the requirements of the law. It's demands. Under grace, it's about supply. Under the law, it is about you working for God. Under grace, it is about God working for you. Under the law, it's about work. Under grace, it's about rest. Under the law, you work and God rests. Under grace, you rest and God works. Are you seeing the difference? Now, what we've got to understand is everything we'll ever need for this life is done. Everybody say, it's done. All right, I'm going to call some things out. Healing. Done. Deliverance. Done. Prosperity. Done. Soundness. Done. Wholeness. Done. Great marriage. Done. Delivered children. Done. Prosperity in every area. Done. Peace. Joy. All right. Who did it?
Jesus.
Is Jesus doing it or is it done? When did he do it? So if he did it and now you're trying to do it, can you see the problem? If you really believe it, you wouldn't be trying to get him to do what he's already done. You follow me? Now, the scripture says Christ, we can partake of what he's already done, but now he tells you how. Through what? Through what? All right, so it's over here in the Bible says we've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. It's already settled. It is done. When he died on the cross, what did he say? He said three words. What? It is finished. What's finished? Healing's finished. Deliverance is finished. Prosperity is finished. Soundness is finished. It's finished. Everything you need for life, it's finished. That's why we call it the finished works of Jesus Christ. All right, now, it's done. Now, the issue with most Christians is, well, how come I don't have the manifestation of it done? It's done, but it's got to go through a tunnel, the tunnel that connects you from the finished works to the manifested works. It's called faith. It's just like going from New Jersey through the Lincoln Tunnel and ending up in Manhattan. Lord, have mercy. So healing is done. You just got to apprehend it from the spirit and bring it where you are. It's not getting God to do it. It's God trying to get you to receive it. Now, the Amplified says something here that I don't have no problem with, but God gave me a revelation on this. He says you can get the finished works of Jesus Christ through your faith. Now, I agree it's your faith, but I had something happen to me this past week on Monday. Woo, Jesus. And I must have did it on vacation or something. I twisted my back and didn't pay no attention to it, and I'm doing this new full body routine where you get these one-legged squats and go down so far that you wonder why would you do that? And then come back up again, and then I got up the next morning, and my body was rebelling against me. And so I got out the car, and the people were just kind of like, well, Rem, you all right? I said, oh, yeah, I'm healed. Praise God, Jesus' name. Well, they don't understand that. I say I'm healed, and they look at me like, You know what I'm talking about, right? Then I got back in the car, and I heard this as clear as you. He listened to me right now. He said, hey, son, I want to show you something. Go ahead and do what you taught yesterday. I said, that sounds like a rebuke. He said, but I want you to realize before you receive it that there is pain relief that has already been provided. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to say, I receive my pain relief through the faith of Jesus. I said, Lord, isn't it my faith that I receive it? He said, no. I want you to see that the faith I ask you to use to get the grace that I gave you, I not only gave you the grace, but I also provide you with my faith to get the job done. I said, Lord, where is that? Where is that? And he said, Galatians chapter, I mean, I saw where it was. I didn't have no Bible while I was driving, but Galatians chapter 2 and 20. He said, Romans chapter 12, I've already told you that you now live a life through the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, I did it. I opened my mouth up and I said, Father, I receive pain relief right now through the faith of Jesus Christ. I promise you in the name of Jesus, 2-3 seconds, 1-2-3, bam, that pain left my back. And I was like, whoa. I said, whoa, Jesus. I said, Lord, what is this? What are you trying to show me? And the devil's so funny. The accuser of the brethren, no matter what you make see happen in your life, he gonna always be talking to you. He said, that wasn't Jesus. Them supplements just kicked in. I got to laughing. I said, no, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. Now, I said, now, Lord, I know. I see it. I see it. Every now and then you'll go to questioning your faith. But it's not your faith. He said, I want you to take this and I want you to teach it this weekend. It's not your faith. For all this time, you thought it was your faith. And whenever you're thinking it's your faith, you can see the weakness to it. You start wondering about it. You start questioning it. But I am telling you that this faith that is used to apprehend what grace is made available is not yours. Let me ask you something. Do you have faith in the faith of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you trust the faith of Jesus?
Yes.
All right, now look at Galatians chapter 2 and 20. What you say? What you say? That devil in trouble today, boy. When you say you do something by faith, your mouth has got to be involved. When you believe something, you speak it. And as you speak something, you demonstrate what you believe. Anytime you look at the finished works of Jesus Christ and you have not applied your mouth to it, then you've not received it. You have to say something to receive it. Or faith wasn't loosed. It wasn't released. Okay? Now, watch this. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless. All right, now watch this. How many of you believe you're crucified with Christ? All right, now where does that go to? It's just simple. Let me see that handkerchief there. It's simple. I'm crucified with Christ. You can just get in the plastic. I'm crucified with Christ. That means you're in Christ, right? The day you got born again, you got in Christ. All right? So wherever this bucket goes, that handkerchief goes. Whatever this bucket experiences, the handkerchief experiences. Because the handkerchief is in the bucket. Mm. You are now in Christ Jesus. When he was crucified, you were crucified. When he died to sin, once you died to sin, once when you were he was resurrected from the dead, you were resurrected from the dead. When he sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, you sat down at God the Father. I'm telling you, the experiences of Jesus now becomes your experience. As he is in heaven, so are we in the earth. Amen? All right, now, I am crucified with Christ. Do you see that now? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Now, check this out. We've heard about us living in him. Yet not I, but now Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at the Amplified. Boy, that is good news, isn't it? That is. Not only did we get in him, but he got in us. Praise the Lord. The Amplified says, I have been crucified with Christ in him. I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live now. I've been crucified. My life was crucified. But Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus lives in me. Now, if you say this at the grocery store, they're going to look at you crazy. But I'm telling you, Jesus lives in you right now. I tell you, if you'll get an awareness that Jesus lives on the inside of you, devils will begin to tremble for a Christian who knows who's occupying them, who's living. There's a man living on the inside of you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget when I went to Tennessee to take this MRI and this big old picture came on the screen and there was a bearded man that showed up on the screen. I saw it. Jeremy saw it. The doctor saw it. And I just started laughing and I looked at the doc and I said, there's a man living in me. Glory be to God. Glory to God. He lives in me. Say aloud, Jesus lives in me.